Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
I was going to start out by saying that this represents, you know, the later Solomon, and of course it does. But as it was being read, I realized he was doing something very different there. But it kind of pertains in that Solomon starts off in a very strong relationship with God, asking God for discernment, wisdom, and he receives it, and he receives long life and wealth as well. And yet that long life turns on him. He, I think, becomes overwhelmed by the bounty that it, you know, he builds this amazing temple. He rebuilds Jerusalem. He's the wealthiest man in the world, and he has more wives than you can count. And somehow at the end of the day, the word meaningless does come in and sort of overwhelms him. Not entirely, but I mean, he has lost his way. Even somebody like Solomon has lost his way.
In your book, Signposts on This Day, you have this sentence where you write, if the purpose of life is to get a job and earn more and more money, then all we will be doing is, quote, gathering up and storing up wealth to hand it over, end quote, which is, of course, from that Ecclesiastes passage. And Eric, I don't know if you realize, you really hit your nail on the head there. I mean, there's a lot of people walking around, especially a town like we live in, and that's what they're doing. They're raising their kids to get a good job, to leave the house, to, you know, have a job maybe better than theirs, have esteem and wealth and cars and whatever. And that's the whole motivation. That's the beginning, middle, and end of what they're trying to do. And yet Solomon is really pointing out a different way. He calls all of that basically meaninglessness, you know, just the accumulation of wealth and then handing it over to your kids. And I was thinking about, you know, what's the alternative of that then? If that's not the best goal, which for many people it seems like it is, right? But if that's not, if the Bible says it's not the best goal, then what is? And I was thinking about this in contrast with Proverbs 1, you know, this idea of why Proverbs was written. You know, it's to pass on not just wealth to the next generation, but wisdom. And it says this in Proverbs 1, verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction, forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. It's just an illustration where the Bible is trying to show us, you know, there's something better than wealth that we can pass on to our kids, and that's wisdom. And it's more valuable even than gold.
Yeah, I wrote this passage as a response to the verse itself with all my heart, because I was one of those people you were describing. I'm not saying I'm still not partly that person, but I think that in contrast to your story, my story is very different. I bought in to the culture. I bought into getting into the best school and climbing up the ladder of life at whatever I was doing. And it was ultimately a philosophy of man disregarding God, really. There are better things, better ways of spending your time. And we in America have discovered them. It's kind of a cultural thing. It's also a societal thing. And the church has not been great, not our church, but the church in general in America, because in some very obvious instances, they're replicating that philosophy of man first, God second.
Well, God forbid we do that, that we reflect the culture around us more than trying to influence the culture around us with this better narrative. You know, that's our call, really, is to show people this better narrative, this better story.
Well, and also just to finish up, we can't do it because we don't have time here. But I've heard your story many times, and it's I think, very inspirational for younger Christians. That it's okay to love Jesus. It's okay to believe in God. It's okay to love science. But not a science that's there to spends all of its time trying to disprove the existence of God. That's not science. That's a mission.